Local government elections will come to order. First bill on the agenda is Senate File 109. Senator Chamberlain.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 109 be recommended pass and re-referred to Committee on Taxes.
Thank you. Senator Chamberlain moves that Senate File 109 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 109 is pertaining to the City of Taylor Falls that would authorize them to establish a border city development zone and give them those powers. It's a relatively simple bill. I'll just walk through very quickly the sections, and then I do have a gentleman from Chisago County and the mayor of Taylor Falls who will speak to this as well, Mr. Chair. Subdivision 1 just authorizes the city to designate all or part of the city as a border city development zone. Subdivision 1. Subdivision 2 just applies general law for border city development zones. And Subdivision 3 limits the cumulative state tax reductions to $100,000 in total. And Section 2 gives that Section 1 upon local approval by the governing body of Taylor Falls. Mr. Chair, that's a very brief overview of the bill. It's not very long. I do have a couple of gentlemen here that would like to speak to it.
Maris, could you state your name for the record for the tape?
Yes, my name is Michael D. Buhite. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. I know you're all very busy just like I am, so I'll be brief. My name is Mike Buhite. I'm in my fifth term as the mayor of Taylor Falls. Most people know me as Mayor Mike, and some of you may recognize my face. I've been down to the Capitol probably a half a dozen times on the same matter, inclusion in the Border Cities Development Zone. And what I've actually been doing for the last 3 years is I've been establishing partnerships. Now, the first partnership that I've actually established was with MnDOT, our county HRA EDA, and the city of Taylor Falls. And the purpose for that was MnDOT owned a truck station located right on our main street, took up an entire city block, old building, needed a lot of repair. And so what I was able to do was partner with MnDOT and the HRA EDA to move that facility up to our public works building. Now, what we did with the help of the HRA EDA was they provided the financing, zero interest loan. Once we own the property and sell it, we pay them back. What MnDOT received was, in addition, two stalls, a three-bay salt sand storage facility, and now they're up on the hill with us by our public works building, and I now have kind of a business campus. I have our public works building, our city hall, our fire department, we have our Lions area, we have MnDOT, we have the Minnesota State Department of Agriculture, and the Chisago County Sheriff's Department. So I've got a business campus. Now, that all came about because of a partnership, and once again, I now own the land. So if you drove through Taylor Falls, you'd see a nice big sign right up on Main Street. If you look at our city, it's about four blocks long. So one block with the MnDOT building is very large. We now have a sign that says it's for sale. Once that property has been sold, a developer comes in, and it's developed, I'll actually have revenue coming in from a location that has never produced revenue for our city. So I'm a big believer that we're not going to accomplish this by simply making cuts. It's really a balance. It's finding new revenue, which is what I've been doing, and making the necessary cuts. Now, the other partnership is what involves you. What I've been able to do is I've actually partnered with Xcel Energy. They needed land to build a substation, the Lawrence Creek substation. And so they were looking at about 6 acres of land, and we kept telling them, buy all 32 acres, because the gentleman who wants to sell it doesn't want to sell you just 6 or 8 acres. So Xcel Energy purchased the entire 32 acres, built a Lawrence Creek substation, and with that, we purchased the land that goes around that property. And what we are able to partner with MnDOT to our Xcel Energy to accomplish was we're actually paying for that land, not with levied taxpayer dollars, but with tax abatement. The taxes that they pay on that equipment that sits there comes to our city, and we're paying Xcel Energy for the property. Now, we're actually going to be developing that property, and some of that tax abatement dollars will be used to help put in the infrastructure. Now, I can't pay for the land and put in the infrastructure all by myself, so that continued partnership was with, once again, the Chisago County HRA EDA and our Chisago County Board of Commissioners. Now, what we're doing is we're asking to partner with them. We're saying, you don't receive any revenue at all off from that substation, but you're going to. But before you do, I'd like to capture some of that tax abatement dollars to help us put in the infrastructure. Now, with myself paying toward the infrastructure, the county paying toward the infrastructure, us paying for the land, I'm now in a very rare position. I'm in a position where I can give the land away. So now I can come up to a business owner and say, what's you going to put there? How soon are you going to put it there? And how many jobs are you creating? Because I'm chasing new revenue, and that through jobs. Now, the challenge that I have is, if you take a look at the information that I handed out, there's a map on the very front, and that's a map of the city of Taylor's Falls. You can see, and there's a beautiful river, the scenic St. Croix, that runs through the middle of it, and on the right-hand side is actually the city of St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. You can also see further out to the left where I'm going to put that future business park. Now, the challenge that I have, if you look at the next page, you'll see that's what my business park is proposed to look like. It'll have to go through my planning commission, of course, so that everybody agrees, but if you picture that, that's free land. That has infrastructure, but the problem is that's located about a mile and a half from the state of Wisconsin. Now, as you leave Minnesota and you drive over to Wisconsin and you start to go up the hill, you'll see that next picture, which is the state of Wisconsin sign that says, Wisconsin welcomes you. And at the very bottom, it says, open for business. That was put up about 3 weeks ago. So that's what I'm competing with. So I'm hoping for one of three things. Number one, it either snows more, so it covers the sign. The trees grow a lot faster, so it covers the sign. Or that you'll step up and say, we got to help out a little bit. Because when you drive into Minnesota, I think that we have a nicer looking sign, which is on the next page. It says, Minnesota welcomes you. And that's it. It's a beautiful sign. I don't see anything that says open for business. I don't see anything that says, hey, come here. If you look at the very last picture that I've provided, that sign is actually there, but the verbiage at the bottom does not exist. It does say, welcome to Taylor's Falls. It's a beautiful sign, but what I want to be able to do is put up a ad onto that sign that says, a city ready for business. I can't do that because it really wouldn't be the truth, because the problem that I have is competing with the state of Wisconsin with their tax advantages. I need another partner. That's the state of Minnesota. You know, when I came into office, 2003, my tax rate was 102. That's what I inherited. In 7 years, I brought it down to 80. So I understand what it means to actually work with businesses. I've been lowering the taxes. I've still been making improvements to our city. And unfortunately, I still have the highest tax rate in Chisago County. And I'm trying to compete with Wisconsin. So what I've said before is just making cuts isn't the solution. The solution is you make the cuts, and you got to find that balance where you find the new revenue. I'm chasing revenue with the MnDOT property. I'm chasing revenue with this proposed business park. But why would you want to locate a business here, even if the land was given to you, if you've got that tax advantage from the state of Wisconsin? And so what I'd like to do is pass the microphone to Chris Ng. He is the director of the HRA EDA. He is one of my partners, and I thank you for your time.
Mr. Ng, state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Christopher Ng. I'm the executive director of the Chisago County HRA EDA, and it's an honor to be here today. Thank you for letting us come and testify before you. As the mayor indicated, our primary concern right now with economic development is our competition with Wisconsin. 1,000 feet across the river, the property taxes are about half of what they are in Taylor's Falls. On top of that, the governor of Wisconsin for the past 9 years has been sending out letters to our businesses in Minnesota saying, come on over. Our property taxes are 50% lower. Our workers' comp rates are 40% lower. And we also have corporate income tax savings, and we'll give you free land and tax increment financing on top of that. And so it's working. The competition is very, very tough for us. If you look at the Osceola, Wisconsin Industrial Park, there are 21 businesses. 17 of them are from Minnesota. Chisago County and Taylor's Falls have lost 7 businesses over the past 7 years, and so that battle board, the board of battle, is alive and well. I do have a comparison that you have in front of you, I believe, on property taxes between several cities in Minnesota and St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. If you look at the top one, this is a building, a commercial industrial building valued at $588,000. The total tax in Taylor's Falls for property tax is $23,313. That same building in Wisconsin is $11,000. I also, just for comparison purposes, gave you some residential comparisons, and you can see that although Wisconsin is a little bit higher on the residential side, not a whole lot different, and I also showed you unemployment rates as well. As the mayor indicated, we've been here for about 9 years trying to balance that playing field with Wisconsin, and we're hoping that this will be the the year that we'll finally be able to make that happen. We're asking for consideration to be included in the Border Cities Development Zone. The program is available to communities on the western side of the state, but there aren't any cities or counties on the eastern part of the state that we'd sure like to see if we can access the program funds. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add, my understanding was that a fiscal note was requested. Apparently there hasn't been one that's materialized, but the legislation does have a capitation of $100,000. You'll see on line 1.18. So that would be the maximum amount if there were a fiscal note assessed to the bill.
Thank you. And Senator Nino, that'll be taken up in taxes. They'd have it by then.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
Me. Thank you.
You good?
Yeah.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not really familiar with how this law works, so tell us, how would would this allow the city just to reduce whatever state taxes you wanted to that to a maximum of $100,000, or how would it work?
Senator Nino.
Well, I'll let our economic development that gentleman speak to that. He's very well versed in this here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, thank you. What we would probably do is, as the mayor indicated, we are offering tax abatement at the county and the city level, but basically that money will be used to repay the city for the land purchases and the infrastructure. So what we're asking for is for the state's portion of the property taxes for up to 5 years and not to exceed $100,000 to be rebated back to the business owner to help us try to sell the land and move it and add jobs to the community. So it would be a tax credit on the state's portion.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you describe for me, and I'm not sure who would be the best, so I'll let you determine who should answer this, but I'd like to know what other border city development zones we have in Minnesota, what other cities there are, and then what powers do they have? And then you talked a little bit about the tax advantages that Wisconsin has, and I appreciate that because that's one of the other questions I had. And so I understand the workers' comp rate is lower. I think you said the corporate income tax is lower. But you also mentioned that the property taxes are 50% lower, and those are set at the local level. So I'm just not sure how the state's going to help with that piece of the uncompetitive puzzle. But if you could answer those other questions, that'd be great. Thanks.
Sure. Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe council could tell us. I'm not sure. I know there are several cities that are included here. I don't recall who all they are. There are some along the Dakotas, but I don't have a complete list. Council might have that, or if you want to pull that out of statute. But Chris, you want to answer?
Mr. Chair and Senators, the cities that are included are actually included in statute, and those are Breckenridge, Dilworth, East Grand Forks, Moorhead, and Ortonville. And to the best of my knowledge, there haven't been any other cities that have inserted themselves or been able to enter the program since it was originally established with those cities.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Rank.
Senator Nelson, the information that I was quoting was actually a letter sent to one of our businesses in the city of Wyoming, Minnesota, from Governor Doyle at the time. And the savings are all spelled out on the letter saying, come on over. Will help you. I'm not exactly sure how the current tax rates still compare. This was based in 2004. I do have some information on 2008. There was a seminar held over in Hudson that said, again, it's talking about the tax advantages to being in Wisconsin. I did find out just this morning in a meeting with Commissioner the new Commissioner Deed, Commissioner Phillips, that Wisconsin is now offering manufacturing companies 2 years of income tax exemption if they relocate over to Wisconsin. And so that's a new one that I had not heard about. I just found out about that one this morning. So as far as setting the rates, I'm not sure Mayor Mike could answer that one on the local level.
Well, and before you that, Mr. Chair, if I may.
And
from a business perspective, money is fungible. And they don't care if their dollar is being paid for property tax or corporate tax or compliance with regulations. It's a dollar is a dollar to a business. So this is an opportunity to offset some of those additional costs, particularly from the property tax aspect. But for the business, they really don't care. We have several businesses that we've been able to entice into Chisago County who, through various incentive programs, they were going to Wisconsin, but for some other incentives that we were able to tap into and offer to them. In one case, the decision had already been made, and we were able to pull them back through an incentive program that was geared towards reducing taxes. But for those kinds of things, we are bleeding businesses into Wisconsin, particularly from the Chisago County area, because it is literally nothing to drive from Taylor's Falls, for example, over to St. Croix Falls. It's the difference of maybe 90 seconds. And so to your question, it's not about the property tax as such, but it's about lowering taxes in general and business expenses. And Mr. Mayor, maybe you want to add to that.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, I look at the Border Cities Development Zone when I approach it in the past, and I really wanted it to help all of the business in Taylor's Falls. And what we really look like are a city that looks like several cities throughout the state of Minnesota. We need some tax relief. My focus now is really on that creating new revenue, which is those businesses that will locate in that business park. My concern is, why would they come to the business park? I'm looking at the potential of 10 properties that could come to that location. If you have 10 businesses that are $500,000 each, we're looking at approximately $20,000 per property of additional revenue to the city of Taylor's Falls. That's $100,000 of new revenue. My entire budget is $650,000 to run the entire city. My businesses that are there now, what they realize that is that I can continue to hold the line on spending, and actually I've been reducing spending, that's going to bring my tax rate down, which it has, which means they're paying lower property taxes. If we have new businesses coming to our city contributing to that pot, then their tax rate's going to continue to come down. They'll pay less taxes because we have more people throwing more money into the pot.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you. Just one follow-up, and thank you. I agree, as a business owner, we need a more friendly business climate across this state. While you've got competition right across the river, in today's environment, we are a very global, mobile society. Businesses can pack up and leave quite easily. So let's make sure that we get the record straight. We need a more friendly business climate in the state of Minnesota. But the follow-up question, who owns the property now where you'd like a business park to be?
Mr. Chair, members, right. The city of Taylor's Falls owns the MnDOT property downtown, and we also own that property with XL Energy. We're in a position where XL Energy has actually said, we'll give you 5 years to pay for the property. We're not charging any interest on the money. And if you look at the tax abatement dollars coming off from that property, we can pay for that property in 3 years' time. When am I going to pay for the property? When I have businesses that want to locate in there, when I get ready to put in my infrastructure. If you said, when are you going to put in your infrastructure? I plan on putting in the infrastructure this spring, because I want to start moving this forward. And that's why I need the state to partner with me. We need to make this attractive. If I can give you the land for free, and we have got the county that's participating in this, and XL Energy, who stepped up as a partner, the only thing I need is the state of Minnesota to help with that, separate that state tax that business has to pay. Because when you look at the commercial properties in our city, my business owners tell me, I pay four taxes. I pay money to the county. I pay money to the school district. I pay money to the city. And I also contribute money to the state, and that amounts to about 27% of my property taxes. If you could simply eliminate that, that would be wonderful. Well, it's difficult in a hard economic time to ask you to just forgive them that 27%. So what I'm looking at is, don't collect the revenue on new businesses that are coming there. Give me that window of time. Give me that $100,000 tax credit over that five-year period of time to attract businesses, because as I start to fill in that business park and continue to bring down that tax rate, their taxes are going to become attractive. They're going to want to remain there. And at this time, I don't plan on doing a TIF district in that area. Rather not. A lot of people don't like TIF districts. I think we can do it by this method right here. That's why this is being proposed.
Yes. I thought businesses didn't care about taxes. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this discussion kind of reflects the competitive business issue that's been in existence for many years with Minnesota compared to other states, but I have a couple questions on the bill. First question is if we created this tax advantage for your city, there's also other competitors other than those found in Wisconsin. you've got small towns that are probably north or west or south of you. Aren't, by voting for this, aren't we creating a tax advantage for your city at the expense of the neighboring towns that now they have to compete with you and Wisconsin?
Mr. Chair, one of the unique aspects of this situation is Taylor's Falls is literally in the right part of the city, a stone's throw from Wisconsin, quite literally. So businesses that are leaving Chisago County, or in particular Taylor's Falls, are going to Wisconsin. The state of Minnesota loses when that happens. If we're talking Minneapolis versus St. Paul, Minneapolis might lose, St. Paul might gain, but the state of Minnesota does not. If we're talking St. Croix Falls versus Taylor's Falls, then the state of Minnesota loses, Taylor's Falls loses, all Minnesotans lose. So it's a bit of a different situation when you have a true border zone. In the case of Taylor's Falls, there might be some minor competition with nearby cities, but I'll let the mayor speak to that. I don't know what conversations have taken place over the years there.
Well, I get the gist, Mr. Chairman. Some other more specific questions would be why we're limiting it, the cost of the reductions to $100,000. How did you arrive at the $100,000?
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me first say, because we like to be frugal and fiscally responsible, Mr. Mayor.
Chris, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lemire, it primarily was a way for us to just put a foothold in the door. We think that with 10 businesses locating in our park, that would be a reasonable start. We don't expect that the business park will develop, you know, as quickly as we'd hope it would because of the economy, but it would be a nice place for us to start and get added to the Border Cities Development Zone legislation that's already in place, which I think the total right now is around $3 million for the whole program.
Senator Lemire.
Another question I had is if there's existing businesses in your city, could any of these businesses that take advantage of this program be working as a business advantage to already existing businesses in your town?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Ng.
Senator Lemire, I think if we've only got one industrial business in the city of Taylor's Falls right now, and St. Croix Falls has 14 of them. If that one business that wanted to relocate would be interested in moving into the new business park, we would certainly hope to help them.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair, if I can bring your attention to page 1, lines 19 through 23. It's paragraph B. It's this allocation may be used for tax reductions or for reimbursements, but only if the governing body of the city of Taylor's Falls determines that the tax reduction or offset is necessary to enable a business to expand. How would the governing body of the city of Taylor's Falls determine that?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, to me that means you're locating in our business park. I'm not looking at having the existing businesses participating in the Border Cities Development Zone at this time. It might be something that could be expanded to that, but with $100,000 and 10 lots, it's specific to that location. It's specific to bring the businesses in, to bring jobs in, and that additional revenue will start bringing down my tax rate for the existing businesses. Am I willing to expand my business park beyond that? Absolutely, someday. But the challenge we have right now, and your earlier question about surrounding cities and how it would affect them, the closest city to me that actually has an industrial park is about 15 miles away, the city of Lindstrom. The next city that's a larger city is the city of North Branch. They're about 20 miles away. I'm not competing with cities that are 15 and 20 miles away that already have existing industrial parks. I am competing with a city that is a 60-second walk across that bridge because I'm a very avid walker and up into their area. I can be in 5 minutes walking time into their industrial park. You're talking about Taylor's Falls with a population of 1,039, and the city of St. Croix Falls population is a little over 2,000. St. Croix Falls enjoys the luxury of a new super Walmart. They have a Marketplace Foods. They have a brand new Menards. They have the small chain McDonald's, Subways, Panda Kings, Kentucky Fried Chickens. They have grown tremendously in the last 5 years. They have three banks at this time. I don't have a bank. The reason why? 2 years ago, they relocated from Taylor's Falls to St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. Their philosophy, according to their bank president, was, you know, it's only about a 60-second drive in the car to come bank over here, and I'm going to bet a lot of money that your residents are just going to come up the hill and bank with us. It doesn't work that way. You know, we have to fight back. And in the MnDOT location, once we have a commercial property in that location, my plan is I'd certainly like a little drive-up window with a bank. And I already have a bank that says, you get me the building in that location, I'll put somebody there. So I'm competing with a giant, and I'm feeling like David and Goliath. The surrounding cities, they're not my competition. They already have their existing industrial parks. I have nothing, but I'm going to have something.
Mr. Chair, one last question. Mayor, I can't help but observe that you keep using a personal pronoun in describing this project, such as my industrial park. Do you have an ownership interest in this industrial park?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I have no financial interest in the business park, and if I say my or mine, then I apologize for that. It's always we. It's always us. It's always intended to be. And if I ever use the word I or myself, then it's just out of compassion that I have for the city of Taylor's Falls. I've lived there since 1989, so I'm an outsider. But it's amazing how you become part of the city, and when you become involved politically, you take ownership for that. And as the mayor of Taylor's Falls, I'm trying to help my city, and I'm trying to help our city by us working together. So if I've used that in the wrong way, I certainly apologize for that.
Senator Anderson and Senator Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor, first I want to say I'm sympathetic. I understand that the competition issue is very, you know, very real when you're that close to the border. Did you mention if your city receives any local government aid from the state of Minnesota?
Mr. Chair, members, we do receive local government aid. It has been reduced each year since the program started being reduced.
And Mr. Chair, I guess I just want to point out that this bill has a cost, and the tax committee is looking at tax expenditures, and this would be in the form of a tax expenditure, and there's been a lot of discussion about eliminating tax expenditures because, after all, we have a $6.2 billion deficit. So my only concern about the bill is that it would add to the deficit, and if your city gets this, I can imagine other cities along the eastern border might think that's a good idea, and we need it too, and so there could be a move to broaden it further. And it's not really a question, just a more of a comment that on the one hand, if we offer you this, that makes our deficit worse, and part of the deficit solution is likely to include cuts to local government aids. And so, it's a difficult choice for us to make. And on the one hand, we could help you. On the other hand, we could cut your local funding. And this could make the deficit worse if we start doing it for lots of other cities. So I just wanted to point that out. The other thing I just wanted to comment on is that I believe in Wisconsin, and your chart really reflects that. It's known for having very high residential property taxes. And I don't know if that's true across the board, but this chart certainly suggests that pattern. And so I guess in Wisconsin they must have, you know, perhaps they've made a choice to have business property taxes lower and residential property taxes higher. And that's, again, a philosophical choice, and it's a hard one. I'm not sure which one I would choose if I had to choose, or if you can try to, you know, there's benefits to having lower property taxes for each sector. And so that's one reason why Minnesota's business taxes are a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, if I could address those comments. In regards to causing an increase in the deficit, I'm not asking you to hand me dollars. I'm asking you to not collect dollars that you're not receiving yet. I'm asking you to delay the receiving of those dollars until I have businesses located in that area. Now, you will be receiving revenue in the form of jobs. So to say we're handing you money, you're not. I'm asking you to wait. And since I'm asking you to wait, you'll receive that revenue in the form of jobs with people working in paying taxes. As far as the difference between the taxes between the two states for residential, the commercial and industrial and residential in Wisconsin, they have the same tax structure. In Minnesota, the commercial and the industrial taxes are higher than a residential property. The challenge that I have is that a $200,000 home in Minnesota would be valued at about $150,000 in Wisconsin, the same identical home. And it's just the way they're set up. It's the way they do their evaluations. Our assessors come in once a year and look at the values of the property, and they base the values based on the sales of the property. State of Wisconsin, they're not so aggressive. They're not doing the once a year. In fact, every 7 years when they reevaluate, I'm pleased that they've gone through and reevaluated, and then I'm going to hope that their property values start going down, but they haven't had their second set of evaluations. So there is a difference between the way the two states do their business, and all I'm trying to do is level the playing field. I'll bring your revenue. I've got a plan, but I need you to wait for a while before you get those new dollars.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a follow-up question to Senator Anderson's. I was going to ask more specifically how much local government aid you get per year. And then if I recall, doesn't Taylor's Falls get special local government aid because of the emergency management concerns with Taylor's Falls? And I seem to remember a special ambulance district or something where the city already receives, in addition to just the regular formula, an extra add-on.
Mr. Chair, members, in regards to, yes, we do receive local government aid. If you said what percentage of it is of your budget is it, the answer is about 20%. If you said what dollar amount are you looking at, it's about $200,000. We budgeted about $145,000 because we expected there to be reductions in local government aid. And I have no problems with making cuts. We need to make reductions. I'll adjust to that. As far as the emergency services, when we testified back in 2005 for that, what happened with that is we did receive $30,000 a year, but unfortunately it disappeared in that magical LGA formula. And the way it disappeared was we calculate and you're going to receive $200,000, but when we run the formula, what are you going to actually receive here? And you'll get the greater of the two amounts. And when you ran the numbers, it was, well, you're supposed to get $150,000, but we're going to guarantee you $200,000. You get the greater of the two. The $30,000 was blended into the formula, so all it did was raise that $150,000 to $180,000. So we'll give you $180,000, but the guaranteed minimum is $200,000. So we received the $200,000. So that $30,000 is not over and above the LGA. It's simply blended in, disappeared, and I think it'll stay there if LGA goes away completely, because I'll be here saying, I'm supposed to get my $30,000 from my fire department for the emergency services that we provide to the Interstate State Park.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand that a lot of these are tax committee issues that hopefully the tax committee will consider. But, you know, as a senator who also represents cities along the St. Croix River, I'm a little bit reluctant to support this bill when obviously the overall solution needs to be a broader look at some of the tax rates and how they compare to Wisconsin and our bordering state. So it is a bit of a conundrum. You're certainly a good advocate for your community, and I commend you for doing that, but it's just difficult to support.
Further discussion? Is anyone in the audience? Oh, Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, were there other powers in Subdivision 2? I asked about what are the powers that are exercised by border cities or developments. Are there other powers that we need to know about? What is that?
Senator Nelson, I'll admit I'm not fully versed into whether there might be something in here that we haven't touched on yet today. Council could speak to that to tell if there's something in addition to what we've talked about, but what the city is looking at is what we have laid out here today, an opportunity to bring businesses into Taylor's Falls that, for the most part, would be going into Wisconsin and providing that little bit of additional financial assistance in the terms or in the aspect of lowering their costs for doing business here in the state of Minnesota. But I certainly would defer to council to see if there's something we've missed.
Mr. Chair and Senator, I think everything has really been covered. It has to do with the granting of specific tax exemptions. Those are the powers that are enumerated in the statute.
Okay, so it's all about tax exemptions, and we have a cap on those of $100,000 in this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yes.
Anyone in the audience wish to testify for or against Senate File 109? Seeing none, the question on the motion of Senator Chamberlain that Senate File 109 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you,
Senator Nino. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Second bill on the agenda is Senate File 228.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Senate File 228, recommend it for passage, and to be referred to Committee on the Environment.
Senator Kubley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do have an author's amendment. Maybe we could add that first, Mr. Chair.
Senator Reiner offers the... We're getting the amendment.
Because we have it, Mr. Chair, I'll offer it.
Senator Reiner offers the A1 amendment.
The amendment, Mr. Chair, just adds townships to the bill. It would allow the townships of the state to follow the county's suit and offer a bounty on coyotes should they be so inclined. I have 134 townships in my district, so it's not one I want to ignore.
Thank you, Senator. So please. To the amendment. Discussion on the amendment. I'm sorry, we were discussing here when we should have been listening. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment?
Mr. Chair, most of us don't have it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Reiner.
No,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, we don't have copies of the amendment yet.
Senator Limmer.
Is this the original jurisdiction of this bill?
This is the first committee. Yes.
So Senator Kubley could make this an author's amendment.
I believe he could, yes. But I still think it has, doesn't have to be offered by a member of the committee still.
We would need a...
Yes, yeah, committee member.
A committee member to move the amendment.
Right. So, Senator, are we ready for Senator Reiner?
So I'd like to have it before
to move
sure.
The. Are you serious?
Got it.
To move the A1 amendment. Senator Reiner moves the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion? Seeing then, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment's adopted. Senator Kubley.
What is that? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe a could you go with Mr. Peterson for excuse me a minute. Could you go with Mr. Peterson?
Certainly. Okay, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr.
Welcome
Chair.
To the committee. State your name for the tape, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tom Peterson. I'm the Director of Government Relations of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we're very supportive of Senate File 228. I'd also mention that Mr. Clavin is here. He represents the Minnesota Cattlemen, and they're supportive of it, as well as Mr. Raddatz with the Farm Bureau, that they're also supportive of the legislation that would allow counties to place a bounty on coyotes if they were to choose. This bill was passed last year, just for some information for the new members. It was included in what we call the Game and Fish Bill and then vetoed by the governor over another issue, not this issue. As many of you have heard, coyotes are a nuisance in our eyes many times. They have a healthy population. Farmers have grown frustrated, and this simply would be another option to help them deal with losses in, of calves, chickens, goats, sheep, especially sheep, and also dogs, domesticated dogs. We hear a lot about the population becoming more bold, and we also, I think, is compounded by having a healthy wolf population, especially in our northern parts of the state. Again, this isn't a cure-all. I think it's permissive language, and I urge your consideration of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kubley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry for the interruption there. I do have a number of sheep farmers who are adamant about trying to do something with the coyote population. There are people who hunt them, but they don't make a noticeable dent on the population in the townships that they're the biggest problem in. I would encourage the counties to look at the towns that are the most problematic in their counties and focus on those. I do have some testimony from a sheep producer in my district, and he talks about some of the problems that he's had. He has been here before, Mr. Chair and members, but, you know, he loses some sheep every year. Sheep are easily spooked, and even though he's got the perimeter of his pasture well protected with electrified fence netting, when the coyotes circle the enclosure for the sheep get spooked and, thank you, and run into the fence. They end up strangling themselves in the netting, but it's, if any of you are acquainted with that electrified net wire, you know that it's fairly expensive to replace, and so you lose on not only the sheep that's lost, but you lose by having to replace some of that rather expensive enclosure. Mr. Padula, the sheep producer who wanted to come today but was unable to do so, did provide me with several pages of testimony. I think, you know, basically he says that coyotes are very adaptable and easily learn where the easy prey is, and so they focus on livestock that really can't run away from them, or at least they can't run very far, and also on pets, dogs, cats, and that kind of thing that populate the countryside. I've introduced this bill several times, members, and the first time it actually failed in committee. But a few years later, when I offered the bill again, some of those who opposed it now supported it because coyotes are now in the suburbs. I know that my spouse provides daycare for a couple of our grandchildren out in New Brighton, and New Brighton has coyotes. My son-in-law found a coyote in their backyard one day eating a squirrel next to their swimming pool. I guess he wanted a water source to wash it down. I don't know. But anyway, Mr. Chair, I'd appreciate any consideration that you give Senate File 228.
Okay. Discussion. Senator Sieben.
Well, Mr. Chair, just by way of, I live maybe 18 miles from here, and we hear coyotes at night. So much that one night when my husband was frustrated that my son wouldn't go back to sleep, he said, if you don't stop crying, you're going to wake up the coyotes, which I now chastise him for scaring him to go back to sleep. But we do have coyotes in the suburbs, certainly.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Sieben, I think Canis latrans is a species that tends to be nocturnal, so I don't think you'll be waking them unless you're sleeping in the daytime.
Good point.
Okay, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recall this bill going through the Environment Committee many times in the past, and I assume it'll go there as well?
That's right? Where it will go from here, Senator.
And, Mr. Chair, now I serve on this committee and not on the Environment Committee, but I just want to raise the issue that's come up on this bill in the past. the issue of concern from the DNR's perspective is that they their biologists come in and tell us bounties just don't work, you know, that it's not an effective management tool. And so I guess you'll have that discussion in the other committee and save that for another group of senators on the Environment Committee to discuss. I assume we won't be hearing the DNR today. We're supposed to talk about the impact on local government of issuing this policy.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, should the state tell counties and townships how to spend their money? I guess I don't think they would. Should I tend to support local control if they think they have a problem? You know, whether it's effective or not will be something that they will find out in the event that they try it. I have seven entire counties in my Senate district. I've gotten resolutions from four of them over the years, and I suspect the other three would join in if they were asked. It's a big problem for the livestock people, particularly those that are raising free-range poultry and sheep. You know, and if you check with them, they'll say they know it's not a total solution, but that it would help. And they're looking at a variety of ways to hold that population down to an acceptable level. The DNR will tell you, if they show up and the question is asked, that the wildlife population will no longer support the number of predators that live in given regions, especially those that border on a river. And the Minnesota River runs all across the southern boundary of my district.
Well,
hey, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, no, I appreciate that. And it's obviously, even if there are coyotes in the metropolitan area, they don't have the same impact on livestock as they do in your part of the Minnesota, although if they start, you know, attacking pets or small children, I'm sure there would be an outcry to do something about it here as well. So I understand that there's a concern to take action. But I do think that we do have some responsibility about authorizing local governments to spend money on things that our state experts say doesn't work. And so I would have some concerns about that, because the biologists tell us that, you know, if you're going to, I mean, I think the DNR has methods for trying to control these predators when their population gets out of control. And I would, maybe you can speak to that, maybe Mr. Peterson can speak to that, about whether they're doing anything to help the problem, and maybe they're not doing enough. But I guess what they say is, when you give bounties, people go and shoot them, but they're not necessarily shooting the ones that are causing the problem or getting at the population centers of the coyotes. So if it doesn't work, you know. We're hearing a lot of discussion at the Capitol about whether local government is being responsible with their spending. We hear that every day when we talk about local government aid. So it is a relevant question for us.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, I got some of that information from Mr. Bogus with the DNR a few years ago, and I did give that information to a couple of my counties that were requesting this bill, and they're still requesting it. So I don't know if they've tried some of the recommendations that Mr. Bogus had, but it's not because the information was unavailable if they are not.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This kind of goes back to Senator Anderson's questions early on, and that is, I just want the clarification. Senator Kubley, this is not a requirement. This is merely allowing counties the option if they so choose. Is that correct?
That's correct, Senator Nelson and Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And I'd ask for a roll call, please.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, there is a representative from the DNR in the room if you'd like to invite him to the table.
You're certainly welcome, Senator Kubley, if they'd like to come up.
Thank you, Senator.
probably.
Mm-hmm. State your name for the tape, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mike Don Carlos. I'm Ed Boggess' temporary replacement at DNR. We have provided the information, as the senator said, in the past. I can give you specifics if you'd like, but in general, bounties have been tried repeatedly over time, and they virtually never succeed in the goal of solving agricultural depredation problems. And there are a lot of reasons why that's the case. I believe in recent years, the DNR has taken a neutral position on this bill because it's not state dollars. And that seems to be the case here, and that's a separate issue. But we can offer information if you'd like to hear it about, you know, why this is not likely to resolve the presenting problems.
I can leave it up to the members. Senator, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Senator. Chair and Senator Kubley, I had a question in regards to the amendment and your definition of town. Could you talk to the, does that include cities? Would cities be able to develop their own ordinance to help with this
well,
type of nuisance as well?
Mr. Chair and Senator Peterson, you know, I think most cities and towns have an ordinance against discharging a firearm within the city limits, but they also assume that if the number of coyotes in the countryside shrinks, that they will move back out of town. And in response, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Don Carlos' comment about resolving the problem, I don't think, you know, even the lamb and wool producers who are supporting this bill do not see it as a complete resolution. They see it simply as one of the things that will help them keep the population in check to a point where they're no longer a problem for farmers in the area. And I think the DNR would agree that their most common food source is in the wildlife that lives out there. But it's out of balance at the moment. You know, there are too many coyotes, and the wildlife that lives out there that normally serves as their primary food source is not adequate to sustain the population.
Senator Peterson, follow.
Thanks, Chair. And Senator Kubley, I want to follow up there just because I live in the city of St. Cloud, and every year we run a very successful deer season within the city limits of St. Cloud. Dozens of deer are taken by skilled bow hunters, and generally the residents have very little sense that deer season is even going on. And because we have a problem with an overpopulation of deer within the city limits of St. Cloud, and has been a shining example of a program that works within the city limits. And so that was the source of my question. There is other ways to take coyote. You know, in your bill you ask about legal methods. Is trapping a legal method?
I believe it is, Mr. Chair and Senator Peterson.
Trapping is certainly another way that a coyote can be taken and could be taken without incident within the city limits of the city.
Certainly, that would be true.
The other aspect of this, you know, I serve on jobs and economic development, and I'm speaking in favor of this bill because, you know, we've learned just in recent weeks that we have a significantly rising deficit in employment for teenagers. And, you know, I see this as a way for a young man or young woman who's looking to earn some extra income within their county, their municipality, or possibly even a city, if the ordinance would allow it, to earn some additional income. And I would just ask that the members recognize that as well. I realize there's different opinions in terms of its effectiveness, but I would agree if a local municipality sees this as a solution, we ought to let them do that. Thanks.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Peterson, my son-in-law, who works for Federal Cartridge, will applaud you. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Wolf.
Yes, I just had a question. Thank you, Chair. Question with the county and the amendment of or town. Is there a potential that the county may feel one way and the town feels another way, and then where they'll be, will the county have priority over what the town wants to do?
Senator Kubley.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Wolf, I guess, I honestly don't know about that, but we have a representative of the towns here. He may be able to speak to that. I don't think it would be a problem in the seven counties that I represent.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Members of the committee, I'm Ken Sewell. I'm general counsel with the Minnesota Association of Townships.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If a county, the way this is drafted, a county could impose a county-wide bounty. In that situation, I can't imagine any one of my members imposing a secondary bounty so that somebody would get two bounties. But in a case where a county decides not to, or they only apply it in partial because this allows them to say we're going to put a bounty in this area, then the township would have the ability to impose their own. So I don't anticipate that you'd ever see duplicate bounties, but if the county applies it countywide, there's nothing a township could do to stop that. If I may back up just a minute to Senator Peterson's question, and I'll defer to council, but the way this is crafted, I don't believe it would apply inside city limits. Town is a separate organized form of government, as you're aware. So if you want any authority within city limits, I think you'd have to have Senate council for additional language.
Mr. Chair, I agree with Mr. Sewell.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, from my perspective, having served on the city council when we developed that season for the deer within the city limits, my sense is that the city council has the authority to do that on their own. If they see the county pass that and the city is having problems with coyotes, my sense is most cities can do that on their own if they would so choose. Is that accurate? Or?
Mr. Solon.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I believe that St. Cloud is a charter city, so they may derive some additional power from their charter. It's been a long time since I did my city side of things, so I'm not up to speed anymore as to if 412 would provide blanket authority to cities, but St. Cloud may derive from their charter.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I was taking from Senator Wolf's question, what if the county wants to do a bounty, but a town within that county doesn't want to? What happens then? Who wins?
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, if the county wishes to impose a bounty, then that's county funds, and it would be a county bounty. And if the township is opposed, it would still apply because it's a county. It would be a county wide, or the township could ask the county to carve out and say, because it does say it applies to a part. The township could ask the county board not to impose it within their jurisdiction. So there'd be multiple ways of doing it, but because it wouldn't be town funds, I don't think the townships would have any concern if the county does it at a county level.
Further discussion? Anyone in the audience care to testify for or against Senate File 228?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the bill.
Senator Reinhart renews his motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Passed as amended and to be re-referred to the Committee on Environment.
Okay, a roll call has been requested. Is there any further discussion? Roll call has been requested. Sisson will take the roll.
Vandeveer.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
Chamberlain.
Aye.
Harrington.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Limmer.
Aye.
Lori. Nelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Reinert.
Aye.
Roebling. Sharon. Sieben.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
There being 10 ayes and 1 nay, the bill is passed. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Senator Kubley. Okay, there being no other business before the committee, I believe we are adjourned.